Secular expecting a vote in the House of Representatives on the Syrian refugees any moment.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Those are the sounds of the raid from 24 hours ago. It lasted 3 hours, beginning at 4:30 in the morning, concluding at 7:30 a.m. In the end, seven arrested, at least two dead, and now we can say the identity of one of those dead is the so-called terrorist ringleader, the so-called mastermind, Abdel Hamid Abaoud, age 28, out of Brussels, Belgium.
The events in Paris were horrifying, yet we know that whenever terror like this strikes, the world community will rally together. Terror will not prevail. But these events should serve as a reminder, and we must protect our people. We are a compassionate nation. We always have been, and we always will be. We can be compassionate, and we can also be safe.
In the kind of situation, the chaotic situation we have in Syria, what little information that might have existed is probably gone up in smoke, or at least, at the very least, is inaccessible to us. And in fact, just this week, we found more evidence of that. The French sent our intelligence agencies the fingerprints of the attackers in Paris, and there was no trace of them anywhere in our databases, the very databases that we're supposed to be using to screen the Syrian refugees.
What is President Obama going to do to intensify the attacks?
This isn't just about bombing across Syria and Iraq and other countries. We need to have the intelligence to have the right targets, and military might is not going to win this war or end this conflict.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, a couple things to announce. Number one, the suspected mastermind of the Paris massacre was killed in the situation, the shootout the other day. So that is a positive development in the sense that we now have a situation where the ringleader of this has been killed. That does not mean, of course, that there aren't other ringleaders. And, of course, we do know that there was going to be another major attack in Paris at the airport. Literally within hours of this incident the other day. So there's concern about that. ISIS, in the same time, is releasing videos that are threatening the United States and Europe. And we also have a report, and this is where we're concerned with regard to the Syrian refugee situation, that the individuals that were on the watch list in France, that were the people that were being surveilled by France, were not on our watch list in the United States. And there's been more testimony about the inability of our capabilities to track individuals that would be coming in from Syria. That vote is going to take place literally in maybe less than an hour. So we're going to get you involved. Logan's going to let you know how you get involved. Then I want to quickly go to Fan.
That's right. A lot of you are joining us already through different ways, but you can do it by giving us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join us right now on Facebook and Periscope. You get to see what's going on live in the studio with live video and studio quality audio. Here's what you do. Go to Facebook.com/JaySekulow or the Jay Sekulow page and follow us on Periscope.
All right. So, Than, quickly here, what are we looking at vote-wise?
Debate is underway right now. I think the vote is probably about 30 to 45 minutes away, Jay. It's clear that it's going to pass. The question is, will it have a veto-proof majority? Because the White House did put out a veto threat on this piece of legislation. I think we could get there. I think we could get to 290. It's going to be close.
Jordan, very quickly, 10 seconds here. The political risk on this for the president?
That's huge. I mean, right now there's a report that's come out that not just in Honduras were these Syrians and now six that have been apprehended traveling on fake Greek passports, but now eight at the Texas border, Syrians trying to get into the United States, all men that would fit the profile of ISIS terrorists.
All right, folks, 57,893 of you have signed this petition to put the moratorium in place. As we've outlined, that is the law that Speaker Ryan's putting forward. Here's what we need everybody to do that's watching us right now on Periscope and Facebook, or if you're listening to us, go to ACLJ.org. We need that petition signed right now. I mean, like this minute. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We want Than to be able to communicate while we're on air that we've now crossed 60,000 signatures. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And we want your comments as well. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back. On top of all of this, not that the situation in France is not still unfolding and dangerous, we had in Israel 3 people killed, 4 others wounded in a shooting and car ramming attack in the region of the West Bank, just a few hours after a stabbing attack killed 2 in Tel Aviv. Again, all terrorists related, 2 killed in Tel Aviv were also, that was just the stabbings then took place and the shootings moments later. So this is an ongoing situation. Right now, the Congress is, in fact, and this is important, folks, getting ready for the vote. We need you to vote right now with us. So you need to sign that petition. I mean, this minute, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Andy McCarthy's a best-selling author, senior fellow at National Review Institute, and a contributing editor to National Review, and a good friend of ours. He's been on this broadcast many times. He wrote an article yesterday that I read and emailed Andy immediately. I thought he hit it right on. It's what you don't understand about the situation in France itself that allowed for this. Andy, welcome to the broadcast. I think it really important for people to understand, because it's hard to get your mind around this, that you basically have these Islamist enclaves operating inside of these countries.
That's right, Jay. You know, terrorism is something that I think is so awful to people that it kind of paralyzes the ability of the brain to process what the threat actually is. But when you do get by that, I think what people need to realize is that terrorists themselves, the individuals who carry out these attacks, are only a fraction of the threat. The only places in the world where they are successful is where they have a support network. And it is an inside-outside strategy of Islamic supremacists for people who are Islamists in Western countries. And when I say Islamists, I'm not talking about terrorists. I'm talking about people who want Sharia implemented, who want to replace the governing law of the country with Sharia. They work in tandem, even if it's in an unspoken way, with terrorists, because they exploit the atmosphere that terrorism creates in order to get accommodations on Sharia. And in turn, the terrorists are successful because they have the aid, abetting, encouragement, and really the moral and material
right.
support of these unassimilated Muslim populations.
So, Andy, and I know Jordan's got a question on this as well, but the reality is, and we're getting a lot of people commenting on Facebook and Periscope, they're trying to figure out how this happened. Part of this was an accommodation that was made over a period of time. So you're reaping the disastrous consequences of that now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Jay. And you know, if you sort of widen the lens a bit and go beyond the Islamist problem or challenge and just think about our overall society, what we're teaching in the colleges and what we're hearing a lot about on Capitol Hill is the very opposite of the idea that we should have an assimilated
right.
American population. So it's not surprising that I think people can't get a grip on the fact that if you bring in a Muslim population that is from a different culture that adheres to a different law that's antithetical in many ways to American law, you've lost your moral and persuasive ability to combat that if you start to say that the whole idea of having an assimilated America is somehow hostile to our quote-unquote values, which is what we hear all the time.
Right. Let me go ahead. Jordan, you've got a question, and then Logan, we got an interesting fact here.
Well, I wanted to ask about the idea of prioritizing refugees. Obviously, this is a hot political issue right now. It's the votes are about to occur in the United States House of Representatives on whether there should be this increased in new screening methods and new verification process. But you've also written about, you know, there's been some criticism of those who have said we should be prioritizing the people who are most persecuted, the people who don't have a natural home anymore in many cases, and these specifically the persecuted Christians, that we do have religious tests in our federal law when it comes to refugees and asylum seekers.
Yeah, Jordan, this has been really demagogued, as almost everything that's a public issue in Washington is anymore. But it's explicit in our law that you take religion into account in making asylum determinations, and that religion is expressly factored into the determination of who is a refugee. You have to be a refugee to apply for asylum. I think what the misimpression people are getting from listening to the political debate and our demagogic president is that by pointing this out, that we are valuing the lives of one set of people over another, which as a Christian, I would have to say would be about as unchristian a thing as you can do. No one is saying that Christians are better than Muslims. What we're saying is our law sensibly recognizes that asylum is awarded on the basis of persecution.
Right.
And religion is a factor in persecution. It's not about who we value more. It's about who's under more of a threat. And as I said yesterday, I think it's abject idiocy to contend that Christians, Jews, and other non-Muslims are under less of a threat than Muslims when it comes to groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. ISIS wants to co-opt Muslims and rule them. ISIS wants to persecute and kill Christians and Jews. Neither of those things is good, but in terms of persecution, obviously the second is a much more profound problem than the first.
Because of the consequences of that. Andy, let me ask you one last question here. And you've got this in the book, Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. What's the best website for people to go to, by the way?
AndrewCMcCarthy.com has all my stuff on it, or the National Review also has an archive of what I do there.
Yeah, great stuff. Let me ask you this. On the Syrian refugee status situation right now, the Congress is moments away from voting. What's your sense?
Well, my sense is they're going to pass this thing and Obama will veto it. I actually think it's a dog and pony show, but I'm willing to ride it out and see what they do. It's obvious to me, Jay, and I think it should be obvious to everyone, that what you have to do here is defund this stuff.
Yep.
And to my mind, I'm so tired of these games and these shiny objects. So it's very simple to me. If you fund it, you're for it. So don't tell me about how, well, you know, we voted against it before we decided to pony up the money for it. Congress doesn't get to abdicate. They're in the position of doling out the money. So, you know, they don't get to take no position. You either pay for it or you don't. And if you pay for it, then you own it, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not interested in the rest of this theater.
Yep. All right, Andy McCarthy, we appreciate you coming on. Great material on National Review. Also great material in his latest book, Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. And by the way, the book you have to have of his, I also think, is The Grand Jihad, How Islam and the Left Sabotage America. Those are available on Amazon, wherever books are sold. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, we've got a lot of comments coming in, a lot of questions. The debate's going on right now on the Hill. Than, really quickly here, part of this is funding, though. I mean, I think that there's a process you have to go through in legislation.
Yeah, this is where it starts, but Andrew's right that at the end of the day, it will come down to the funding bills that will come down the pike in the next 2 weeks. The president can choose to sign or veto this piece of legislation. If he vetoes it, that is not the end of the game.
Right.
And Andrew is exactly right. If he vetoes it, this Congress that is voting today has to come back and say, if you're going to continue this program, we aren't going to pay for it. And if we don't pay for it, the program stops anyway.
We had a lot of calls and a lot of comments. Let's take some comments from Periscope and Facebook and maybe get a call. And if not, we'll get to the calls right after the break.
Yeah, we'll get to calls after the break. A lot of people are chiming in with some mixed emotions, I'd say, often. You know, people are a little concerned and feel that we may be lacking compassion in the way these are comments. Well, one person just said, well, I have compassion for refugees. These are not the times and days of Ellis Island. People came to the shores to seek a better life. These are the people that want to destroy us. It's not necessarily the fact of all these people, obviously, are like this. And one person chimed in and said, look, is it true that none of the French terrorists were Syrian refugees?
Well, some of them were French nationals. One of them, we think, came through with a Syrian passport. So that's not correct.
And
let me say about the Ellis Island thing just really quickly here. Look, there were no safe havens capable in Europe during Nazi Germany, for instance. When the czars were moving, there were not really safe havens. So what happens? Here you have a situation where you actually can create in-region safe havens. There's a big difference there. Plus, my grandfather, your great-grandfather, both of your great-grandfathers, came through Ellis Island, had paperwork showing their status. These people coming out of Islamically controlled areas don't have that, and that's part of the danger.
People are saying also, then, what do you say to people who say we're lacking compassion in this situation? Christian love.
Yeah, we have a 5-point plan, which I'll go over after the break, which is being adopted by Congress, which says we need to provide aid in region to those that are refugees. As I've shown for our Periscope and Facebook audience, and I've explained it to our radio audience, when you look at the people that have gone into Europe coming out of Syria and Iraq, 65% are male, most of them between the ages of 18 and 35. Only 14% are women, less than 20% children. That's what's going to Europe. In region, it's much differently. So this is the ability, and ISIS has already said they will utilize the refugee status. Our national security people will play some of those bites when we come back, have said we've got huge gaps in that. So there you go. The vote is taking place. Could be in 15 minutes, folks. While we go to this break, go to ACLJ.org or call right now at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go ahead and put that up so our audiences can see that are watching. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Sign now.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or at your name online, aclj.org.
So, Than, tell me where we are on the vote. So we are, I mean, reports we're monitoring C-SPAN right now. We're looking at a vote taking place literally any minute?
Yeah, it could be any minute. I think there's about 20 to 25 minutes of debate time left. Sometimes some of that is yielded back, but any time within the next half hour, we could go to a vote.
So what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to stay live until the vote, if possible, which means if you're listening on the radio station and we go off, you can always go to, if you get SiriusXM, we're there for the hour. But if it goes past that, Facebook and Periscope are good ways to stay engaged with us on this issue. Logan, let's go ahead and take a phone call and start that conversation.
All right, let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Vegas. You're on the air.
Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Right after 9/11, President Bush got on the air and said, you know, how good the Muslim people were, which I had no problem with that. So I couldn't understand how a good person or good people would do that. And I bought a Quran, and after reading it, I saw all the things on what they're supposed to do to their enemy. When people are accusing Muslims, why don't they expose what the Quran says, not Muslims as a whole, to show the difference between a Muslim terrorist and a good Muslim?
Well, the difference is, I think the phraseology is that's correct is, not all Muslims are terrorists, and that's correct. But most of the terrorists, as you said, Bruce, unfortunately, most of the terrorists, well, all the terrorists in these incidents have been Muslim. But there, it's the difference between, I don't want to target all Muslims. We had Zudi Jasser on the broadcast the other day. He's Muslim. And he was, he's a good friend of ours, and we work with him. But the problem is, it's the Islamists and the jihadists. Something that, by the way, Hillary Clinton doesn't even want to say those words. But, Jordan, it's the Islamists that have that policy that, although they're not the largest part of Islam, they are right now the most dangerous and vocal part of Islam.
Yeah, that's right. And it's gotten to a point where even those who are the most cautious about talking about this, President Obama being one of them, he spoke about it from Turkey this week, the idea that there's been a lack of engagement inside the Muslim community. It's allowed this infection to spread.
Yep.
And I think that's what we're seeing on a larger scale. And so the terror attacks that are being reported are happening around the world. We can all there's one unifying factor about all these attackers, and that's their ideology. And their ideology is Islamic extremism. It's all stemming from primarily the Sunni world. There are Shia terrorist groups like Hezbollah,
right?
But this is primarily a Sunni problem. So you can look there as well. And I'd also say that what we're really facing now, I think, is an influx that ISIS is going to do everything it can in this short time period to attack, and it's why we're seeing the increase in arrest from everywhere in Central America.
Let
to
me go
right
ahead and break
border.
In, Jordan. Here we got Representative Ted Poe from Texas, our friend on the floor right now. Let's take a listen.
Carolina, for the time, Mr. Speaker, ISIS is at war with the United States. The question is America at war with ISIS? I'm not so sure, since we don't have a strategy to defeat ISIS, other than if we are attacked, shelter in place, hunker down, get more security guards around the Capitol, use the tunnels rather than walk outside. That's what we were told after the Paris attacks, Mr. Speaker. This legislation is really simple. It has with its core the idea to protect American citizens. It has nothing to do with refugees, far as being whether we accept refugees. The country accepts refugees. We always have. That's clear.
I think Senator Poe is exactly right. And, Than, let's reiterate to everybody, we've had a major part of this legislation. I mean, the ACLJ members that are watching right now and those that have been supporting our work and our team got ahead of this the day before and put the plan together.
A lot of great work behind the scenes at the ACLJ, putting forth a common sense plan that addressed both the national security component and the compassion component that people are out there. The 5-point plan that you've been talking about, Jay, that was circulated on the Hill very, very quickly after this occurred in Paris. And what you're seeing on the floor right now, this is the first step that we asked for. It comes basically straight out of point number 4 in our paper, and it was because our members and because our team behind the scenes got out front of this and got a policy recommendation to the Hill very quickly.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls, Logan.
All right, let's go to Glenn, who's calling from Boise, Idaho. Glenn, welcome to JSEC. You're live. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my
sure.
call. So I was looking online, and the media was saying that the president is saying that most of the refugees coming in from Syria are women and children, and yet I'm hearing you saying that the high percentage of them are young men.
Right.
Which one is true?
Well, I want to put up for our Facebook and Periscope audience the refugees that are going into Europe, because you have to distinguish between those in region, which are a mix of proportionality of men and women, versus, and I think this is important for everybody to understand, those that have gone into Europe fleeing Syria. So there it is, and Logan's going to pan over there. So here's what you've got, and it's probably up to over a million now, but roughly 820,000 Syrian refugees have arrived into Europe. Of those, and you could see it on the screen there, 65% are men. Only 14% are women, and only 20% are children. And people on the ground are saying that, in fact, of that 65%, most are single men between the ages of 18 and 35. So when the president's throwing out these numbers, these are not the real numbers. Sure, there's 4 million refugees in region that have men, women, children, proportionality, but those that are seeking access outside of the region, and that's what we have to be concerned with here, are predominantly single males. That should be problematic itself.
All right, let's go quickly to another call before we go to break. Marlene is calling from Tustin, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Marlene.
Hi. You know, the president took the same oath that I took when I joined the Army to defend this country against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. He's not doing that. He's superseding the law to bring refugees here above the protection of our nation. If something were to happen here, what legal rights do we as U.S.
Well, when you have an election, you've got consequences. And part of that consequences is a president that refuses, Jordan and Fan really quickly on this, refusing to go off his narrative, even with these horrible situation unfolding in Europe. He refuses, Jordan, to go off the narrative. I want to get Fan's comment on that, too.
That's right. All he would say was a setback. So it's a setback to their narrative, but it's not game changing. And at a certain point, you would think that there's a wake up call. Plenty of us, I think, already were there. We didn't need these attacks on Friday to realize the threat. But this president, again, just called it a setback.
Yep. Fan, quickly.
I just think all of the warning signs of the threat here in the United States are here, and all of us need to focus like a laser beam on preventing that attack, preventing that a threat now.
All right, so folks, we are here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to give you all the ways in which you can participate in this right now.
All right, yep, if you don't get the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you're not listening on Sirius XM or some of the affiliates that pick up the full hour, you can do so really easily for audio only. Go to aclj.org, click Listen Live, we're broadcasting there, or we'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast. Join us on Facebook or Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulow and Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. You'll find us there broadcasting live during the breaks, during the show, studio quality audio. It's a great way to be a part of the show and get your questions or comments on the air, obviously, by calling us at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, so the vote could be in 20 minutes. Stan's going to notify members of the Hill right now as you call in on how many people have joined our petition. So everybody that's watching the broadcast on Facebook or Periscope or listening on the radio stations around the country, here's what I need you to do. Go to aclj.org right now or call this number, and we're adding your name now to this petition on the Syrian refugee issue, 1-877-989-2255. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And I'm urging you to call right now. That vote could be in 15 or 20 minutes. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And don't forget, we're not matching challenge campaign. Help us out any way you can at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
welcome everybody back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, the vote is going to take place any minute on the Syrian refugee situation. I'm going to go right to Than Bennett. Give us the latest, what the bill is and how the vote's looking.
The bill is H.R. 4038. It is basically a bill that suspends the bringing over of refugees from Syria and Iraq until the FBI can complete a background check on them. You know, the FBI director has said he can't do that yet because he doesn't have any data. Well, then we need to suspend it until he has data that he can do. Timing on the vote, Jay, it looks like it's about 15 minutes away. Could be sooner. You've got Nancy Pelosi on the floor right now, which usually indicates the Democrat side is winding down their debate. So I think 10 to 20 minutes away is what we're looking at.
All right, here's what we're going to do. If the vote goes on after we are off air on SiriusXM, we are going to stay on as long as we can, at least.
Because
how long can we stay on after for Facebook and Periscope?
We have an extra about 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay,
on
so we'll
Facebook,
stay with so. It until then. Let me go ahead and play for you. This was testimony this morning. The executive director for the Immigration Studies, he was before the Judiciary Committee. It's Mark Krikorian. Here's what he said just moments ago.
In the kind of situation, the chaotic situation we have in Syria, what little information that might have existed is probably gone up in smoke, or at the very least is inaccessible to us. And in fact, just this week, we found more evidence of that. The French sent our intelligence agencies the fingerprints of the attackers in Paris, and there was no trace of them anywhere in our databases, the very databases that we're supposed to be using to screen the Syrian refugees.
This is the problem. Jordan, the reality is we're just not prepared to do this right now.
Yeah, that's right. That we don't have the information. Now, listen, right. Some of these folks should have been flagged. Their info was online. They were public spokespeople for ISIS. So that should be enough of a warning right there. If we're not able to flag and apprehend those who are the lead ISIS propaganda faces on camera, putting their names out there, and that was what happened in France. These were the leader of this was very outspoken. If we can't apprehend and stop him, then why should we expect to be able to stop the foot soldiers, if you will, for ISIS who may not be on those videos? So even when you think you've seen the intelligence that would make it easiest to apprehend at least ringleaders, it's not being done.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. Those kind of gaps are really problematic in this kind of situation because the danger you have is really, really serious. Logan, do we have time for a call? Do you want to grab some comments?
Probably have to grab some comments. We do have a lot of people who are chiming in about what's going on with Anonymous, the group Anonymous.
Okay, so why don't you explain that and let people look at you here. All right.
Sure.
Explain to everybody who Anonymous is and what they're saying they're going to do.
Right. Anonymous is a group of hacktivists, if you will. I guess they're activists that are really internet hackers. Not necessarily guys you want to be best friends with. We're definitely not calling
defending them
as friends of Anonymous. However, as they've hacked tons of organizations, you'll see them all the time doing this. However, they definitely don't like what's going on with ISIS to the point where they are going through and maliciously and positively exposing Facebook accounts, Facebook
which
groups.
Which our CIA is using.
And that's one of the questions right now is whether they're going to use the stuff that Anonymous is providing them. They've shut down tons of forums. They've shut down Twitter accounts. I think they shut down 1,500, something like that, Twitter accounts shut down through Anonymous. Of ISIS members because of the fact that they're able to go through and really get through. They're kind of, I'd say they're almost unofficially together as a group. You'll see like the Guy Fawkes mask. If you see that, that's typically the sign of Anonymous, this group.
But they really want to go after ISIS.
Oh, absolutely. They are. They put out a video that's quite frightening and quite intriguing to watch immediately following it's in French.
Okay.
Immediately following the French attack. You can find it on YouTube at your own risk. And you can take a look at what they're up to. But a lot of people
are
asking that because it's getting
news. Are shutting down their social media, do you think?
Oh, yeah. These guys are very capable of doing just about anything,
so
I would say.
So they're potentially very dangerous but could be here very helpful.
Yes, absolutely. And it is up to our government. I know that's a discussion happening right now. If our government is going to use this information
if it shuts ISIS down, I'd use whatever information we can get our hands on. How about that?
All right. Well.
All right. So there you got it officially. So now we'll get people saying, I can't believe Jay Sekulow said back Anonymous. Here we go. Anyways, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Here's what we've got. Vote is Nancy Pelosi's up now, so we think we're moments away here. We've almost had 1,000 calls today. We're at 935. Would you go to ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 and call right now? ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom. And in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror. And that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right to the phones here and take some calls. Again, we are 24 signatures away from being at 1,000 just today, which will put us with our phone calls. Will, give me the number where we are on the petition, and we're at 976 on the calls. Let's get to it. 24 of you that are watching or listening on SiriusXM or watching on Periscope, you can help us get over 61,000 here. This would be great. Because, Stan, you got to give that information out like right now, right?
Yeah, actually, I was just trading emails with the staffer on the floor. She thinks we're about 10 minutes away from the vote, so we really got to get them in now.
All right, folks, so this is really the moment here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So you can do it either way. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to sign this petition backing the legislation. It's the moratorium. We think that's the right approach here. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And help us get over 61,000. That's our goal for today. Thanks for communicating this now. Let's go ahead and take a call or go get a comment.
Yeah, let's go to a call while we wait. Bill is calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill, you've been on for 25 minutes. I'm sending you our book, Rise of ISIS.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm sending you Rise of ISIS, even though you're playing the other side's advocate. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. No, I'm not playing the other side's advocate. You already answered my question concerning what could happen if the president vetoed. But I do want to make a statement concerning his reasoning. He says that America is a nation of immigrants. To me, that begs a question that needs to be answered. How many of these immigrants, according to today, refugees, have actually come to America to become law-abiding citizens and make a good life for themselves, as opposed to those who come to America to create havoc? I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to your comment.
Okay? I mean, although the number of refugees coming to the United States that lead a good life and are productive citizens is high, it really is. The problem is, if you let in, Jordan, you and I talked about this shit. If you let in 10,000 people and only 8 of them are terrorists, you could have France. That's the problem right now. So this
That's
is different
right.
than the mass immigration of the Irish, of the Jews, of the Italians, of those from countries in Asia. It's very different because the motivation is very different here.
Yeah, when you use the words refugees, that's different than an irregular immigration program. So in the regular immigration program, you can come to the United States, go in line, you're supposed to go through the legal process, wait your turn, for economic reasons. You don't have to prove that you're somehow persecuted or that you're facing, your life is being threatened. This refugee process is unique to people who have basically nowhere else to go, so they need resettlement because of specific kinds of
persecution that they're facing. Religious persecution is one of those reasons. And so that's how the process works. So it's different than the normal immigration process. Shouldn't be seen that way. It should be seen as people who are fleeing that have no other option.
Yep.
But you don't have to say that, you know, just because we're the United States that we have to accept everyone coming all the way from Syria when there's different points along the way.
Right.
You're supposed to utilize those safe points. During World War II, for instance, there weren't safe points. Between Europe and the United States, there was a war going on, and most of the war was happening in Europe and North Africa. So people needed to be relocated outside of that, even Eastern Europe in war. So that's another reason. This is different. There are safe places before you get to the United States.
Yep. Logan.
We had one comment that came in, which it's kind of been summarized a few times, but someone just asked, is this a slippery slope? How can we make sure that, again, they actually are supportive of your opinion, but how can they make sure this doesn't lead to what happened to Japanese Americans after Pearl Harbor?
Sure.
How does it all of a sudden, can it quickly turn into something like that?
I don't think it can because of our checks and balances within our constitutional framework. First of all, what happened in these were American citizens that were interned in camps that were Japanese ancestrally, but they weren't, it's inexcusable. Now, the Supreme Court said it was okay, but it was inexcusable, the Karamatsu case. This is different because the checks and balances are in place. This is also a moratorium. Than we're not talking about stopping refugees. We're not even talking about stopping all refugees now. We're just saying we've got one particular crisis zone, Syria, where we can't, according now to the FBI and the CIA. Let me play the FBI comment, and then I'm going to get Than a comment. This is the problem, folks.
There is risk associated with bringing anybody in from the outside, but especially from a conflict zone like that. From the intelligence community's perspective, I think we've developed an effective way to touch all of our databases and resources to figure out what we know about individuals. Right? And so that's my piece of it. I don't think that's a cumbersome process. My concern there is that there are certain gaps that I don't want to talk about publicly in the data available to us.
I mean, to me, folks, there's the answers. The FBI director, there's data available, there's gaps, and this is a real problem. And I think we have to be really clear on this. All right, let's take another phone call. 800-684-3110.
Sure, let's go to Jane, who's calling from Texas. You're on the air, line 5.
Hi, Jay. I am going to put a challenge out to everybody. I am tired of listening to my family and people on Facebook complain about the government and putting down the legislature. I just found the ACLJ. I just found you on Facebook about a month ago.
Oh, great.
And your radio program is top-notch. I'm finding that you're in the middle of everything that we care about. And I put a challenge out to everybody, especially now that we're getting around to the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, to whenever you hear anybody complaining about something, to recommend that they get onto ACLJ and support you and sign your petition.
Well, Jane, we appreciate that.
Just get out there and...
Well, look, Jane, we appreciate that. The fact is we are, just so the people that are watching this broadcast on Facebook and Periscope and our radio audience around the country understand we are utilizing every medium that we can get our hands on to broadcast our message. We're doing specials on television. We are in the courts. Than is monitoring the legislation right now in Washington, and our director of governmental affairs, Logan, said today now we're on Periscope's version of Apple TV. So we're utilizing all the media we can to get this message out.
That's right. Any way we can. You'll see more of those ways put up over the next few months as we continue our growth when it comes to different media sources that you can get our message.
Including, you'll be able to, it looks like in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to get our broadcast live when you just go to ACLJ.org. There we're going to be. So a lot of avenues. Stan, give us an update where we are.
It looks like... Probably inside 10 minutes now. It looks like the Democrats do have a couple more people that are going to speak, but I think the vote's going to happen before we go off air, Jay.
All right, let's go ahead and grab another phone call here. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, Bill's calling from Modesto, California. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I got a two-part question.
Sure.
Showing compassion, don't we have enough people here in the United States to show compassion, like the orphans or the veterans or the senior citizens are barely making it? And the second part is, if we would have destroyed ISIS a few years ago or last year, we wouldn't be talking about this.
This
right
is a good point you raise, and this is a good time for me to go through our plan. Let me do this because I think it'll set up the next segment well. Here's what we've proposed, and it's basically what the House is adopting rationale-wise. Number one, first, the American people must recognize, as Justice Goldberg did, that the Constitution of the United States is not a suicide pact, and the first responsibility of the United States government is national defense. That's number one. Number two, the admission of refugees or any alien is a sovereign act of the United States, as is an act of national security. These are sovereign acts in the United States. Second, the ACLJ recognizes, and this is where the compassion comes in, the dire plight of those forced out of their homes due to the ongoing civil war in Syria and the role the United States and its people have historically played to aid persons in such circumstances. The United States should continue to be a shining city on a hill and a beacon of freedom for all the world and provide that aid. Three, the ACLJ recognizes that the current administration's failure to get a status of force agreement in Iraq created the environment for the rise of ISIS. That has happened. There's no denying that. Fourth, in light of the recent ISIS-related attacks in Paris, the ACLJ supports a moratorium on the admittance of all Syrian refugees to the United States until the American people can be assured by the federal government, including the FBI director, that the vetting process and verification actually does work, which they say right now it does not. And fifth is, once we get the situation stabilized, we want safe zones in the region. Now, we think that's part of what needs to happen for those refugees. So we're not anti-refugee. We want to just be smart and wise in how we do this.
All right, let's take one more call before we go to break. Yep. Eddie is also calling from California on line 4.
Hi, Eddie, you're on the air. Quickly, please.
Hi, Mr. Sekulow. Thank you so much for taking my call. Yep. I'm actually on break teaching college classes, but I got a question about, is there enough of a cushion in the House right now to provide for an override of a veto if that were to be the case?
Great question. Than and Jordan, let me go to Than first. Than, if we get a veto here, what does it look like? We don't know
we're
yet.
We're about to find out. You need 290 votes. We know that at least 10 Democrats have said that they are voting for this bill. That puts you up. You need about another 30 more to be able to override a veto. We're about to find the answer.
And also quickly, Jordan, the veto can be given, there's a funding mechanism that then goes into play that we can deal with.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, Congress they have to approve all the funding to the federal government. Obviously, this would require an increased fund specifically for the relocation of these refugees and the taking them in and going through this process. So Congress has multiple roles to play here. And I think Andy McCarthy was right on our broadcast joining us earlier that they've got to really flex their muscles and all of their abilities to do what American people want, which is to stop this.
All right. So coming back from the break, we may well have the results on this vote. So if you're listening, get your friends to listen. If you're watching on Facebook or Periscope or whatever device you're watching on, get your friends involved. We're going to analyze this vote as it comes down. We may stay after the hour to give you that information. Again, we're still getting those numbers into the House and Senate. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign, folks. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. So do that. We encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. And our book, Rise of ISIS, available wherever books are sold. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. ISIS, the Islamic State, is a jihadist army. It's declared war on liberty and freedom, and in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris, ISIS is now threatening America. Here's the problem. ISIS has promised to infiltrate refugee camps to export terror, and that puts America at even greater risk. ISIS must not be allowed to use Syrian refugees as camouflage to terrorize America. Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Protect America by placing a moratorium on Syrian refugees until we can ensure ISIS doesn't come with them. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or at your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We are moments away from the vote here. Let's quickly, before we go to calls at 800-684-3110, by the way, we're going to stay on Facebook, at least Facebook and Periscope, until we have this vote. So, or as long as I'll let us stay on, which is about an hour and a half, so hopefully we'll have the vote within that time frame in the next 30 or 40 minutes or so. Jordan, the politics of this have really been the dominant discussion here. Is this changing the upcoming cycle of when you've got all of the primaries coming up? This puts this issue front and center. I mean, national security is becoming the issue.
That's right. And the more that this goes on, and it looks like the way that all of the planners are talking about is that none of these plans have a solution to deal with ISIS before the presidential election, none of the plans put on the table say they'll be eradicated before then. So it is pretty obvious that the next president of the United States will also have to deal with the ISIS threat. And of course, in America, and it's typical in our political process, there's a lot of focus right now because the refugee situation, yep, on top of that, what happened in Paris. But we will see, and I think it's very important for the American people to continue to stay vigilant on this issue and not just kind of move on and forget about it, get into the holidays, because that's when the terrorists strike again. Yep. They wait for you to kind of calm down. We need to keep our guards up for the time being.
Yep.
There's a good comment that came in. People are still asking, why is there not yet a debate for foreign policy? Why at this point in the situation?
Which is an interesting question.
The fact that we're this far in and the fact that all these things are happening, why is that not?
Yeah.
You know, we've had the economic debate. We've had some generic ones. Why is there not one focused on really probably the most important issue of
our lifetime, yeah, right now? So the next debate is when? December 15th, guys? And what is the focus? Have they said what the focus of that debate is going to be?
It's a general debate.
General debate. Well, that general debate needs to be focused on foreign policy. And, Than, that's been sorely lacking, honestly.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The last debate, which was supposed to be about the economy, actually morphed into about 30% foreign affairs. I think the next debate needs to be about foreign affairs. But honestly, Jay, to the last point that you just made, this is about to become a domestic issue. Terrorism is now a, yep, domestic issue as well. So foreign affairs, yes, but terrorism as it relates to the threat to the homeland as well.
All right, let's go ahead and quickly on the calls here.
All right, let's go to Melissa, who's calling from Waycross, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hi, Melinda, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Melinda.
Yes, you're
I appreciate
on
you, and I watch you all the time.
Thanks.
And when Facebook will let me. I have 2 points. Number one, the Democrats keep talking about the vetting system and how it takes 2 years. Well, if they're going to let in 10,000 by the end of this year, where's the two-year wait?
Well,
where's
the
vetting when there's no,
yeah,
records?
So let me address the two-year thing. So normally, and Jordan can answer this quickly, but normally, because you've studied all this, the refugee status determines as a two-year thing, but that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking about people that are in region conflict right now, and that's a fundamental difference between someone that's been really vetted, although how do you vet from ISIS-controlled areas? I don't think you can.
No, with all the fake passports, with all the fake documentation, and you know, you would think that by the vetting alone, you would catch the most outspoken members of ISIS, the people they put on camera, the people whose names they use, and yet they didn't do that when it came to the, now they were identified the person in France, but they hadn't apprehended that person. Now, some of this is because the existing laws are not modernized to deal with the terrorist threat, so that they're allowing these people to come from the battlefield in Syria knowingly and then live within the society because they have laws that prevent them from apprehending him before they do something like this. And so, yep, listen, we have to modernize our laws, but also realize that this is a rush process ongoing right now. And it's not something we had to deal with like this. This is typical of this administration. It's making a crisis out of something that's existed for years. This war's, right, been going on for 4 years. It's not like these refugees just popped up overnight. Ask those countries like Jordan or Turkey that, yep, have over 1 million refugees in each place that they're dealing with.
All right, so Than, you've got some word. By the way, Than Bennett is our director, as you know, our director of governmental affairs. He's right now in our offices in Washington, across the street from the Supreme Court in the Capitol. But you've been communicating with staff. What are they saying from the floor? And by the way, he's getting texts and emails from the floor of the House. So when you're part of the ACLJ, you're part of all of this. But so, Than, what are you getting?
Yeah, floor staff right now is telling me that Democrats look like they may now be offering a procedural, it's called a motion to recommit. It's sort of a last procedural method that they can use. It may push the vote back 20 to 30 minutes. They're not 100% sure they're going to use it yet, but the Democrats on the floor have at least said they are considering offering that last procedural motion.
So do we know how much time we get on, because in Sirius XM, we know we're 4 minutes out here, but for the for Facebook and Periscope, what do we get?
We get 30 additional minutes on Facebook, unlimited on Periscope, but really Facebook is where the majority of our traffic is. So if it doesn't...
Could we restart it up after
could,
that?
You could, or what happens is, what I would suggest is everyone follow at Jay Sekulow on Twitter, and we will tweet out the results if we are no longer on the air. So follow Jay Sekulow on Twitter, again, at Jay Sekulow, and at the end of this vote, we will definitely tweet out the results and our commentary that way.
Okay.
So I think that's probably an easy way to do it. Or we may restart. We'll just see how things go.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take... So those of you on the line, hang on there. We're going to get to all these calls. Let's go ahead.
We'll take all the calls, even the ones that we don't get during the main show, we'll take during the after show.
Yep.
So Kimberly's calling from Springfield, Missouri on line 6. You're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. Hello. I was just wanting to say that everybody's been talking about the danger of them coming in, but they've never meant, and it's in that they're saying that men and how many men there are.
Yep.
But we aren't looking at their women and children as a threat because we as Americans don't see women and children as a threat. But Islam don't value women and children. They're disposable. So I just think that that's a point to be made in the whole of the discussion.
Well, I think, look, Kimberly, you raise a point. I mean, yesterday or the day before when they had the attack on the spot where they were in the Saint-Denis where these individuals were, it was a female that was wearing a suicide vest that blew herself up to try to kill more people.
Of the cousin? Or
it was cousin of the mastermind. So here's the problem, and this is, I think, a very valid and real point that you raise. You could say women, well, you know, women and orphans, but the reality is until you can verify any of this, you can't do it. I mean, this is our own national security again. As Justice Goldberg said, the Constitution's not a suicide pact. I mean, to me, it's that clear. But Kimberly, you raise an important point, and unfortunately, ISIS has now gone to that where they're using women to do this too. By the way, Hamas has been doing that for decades. They use women. ISIS was not, now they are. And that's why we say ISIS, Hamas, Hamas, ISIS, cousins. They're related. And that's why in our book, Rise of ISIS, we go into this in really great detail about Hamas, about ISIS, and you can get it at bookstores everywhere, and we encourage you to do it.
Let's take one more call in the air before we wrap up. Lori's calling from Durham,
North
Carolina.
Yeah,
stay on the line. We'll get to you during the after show on Facebook and Periscope.
We'll keep
Lori, you're on the air.
Hey, Lori.
Hey. Oh, gosh, I'm so glad to talk to you guys. I have a really important question, I think. One of the things that concerns me about all the discussion that's happening is that the ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and all of these groups are always projected as extremists. Where we're getting all kinds of information. There are all kinds of reputable companies like Pew and Gallup, and even Al Jazeera recently did a worldwide survey about whether Muslims all over the world thought that ISIS was actually practicing Islam the way it's supposed to be practiced. These are not extremists. These are fundamentalists.
Well, that's, I think... You're correct. I wouldn't call them extremists. I call them Islamist jihadists, and there's a sympathy factor. Jordan mentioned that earlier. We're going to talk about it after the break about that. So, folks, if you're on SiriusXM right now, just go over to my Facebook page. Logan, how do they do it?
Facebook.com/JaySekulow, or just search for Jay Sekulow.
You'll see Periscope.
On Facebook, there's a verified page. Click on it. You'll see it's one of the latest posts. If not the latest post, is this broadcast going on live. It's live video. And be a part of the show that way. Also on Periscope, just search for Jay Sekulow, and you can follow us and see the broadcast going on.
I will tell you this also, folks. Oh, sorry. I'll tell you this also. We're in a matching challenge. We are finishing up the third week in just 2 days. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. And we'll take more calls. We come back. We're going to stay live. Some advantage of Facebook and Periscope here. We're going to do it.
Protect Christians and other refugees by establishing safe havens in the region. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Add your name to our new petition. Demand the President and Congress protect America and Christians. ISIS cannot be contained. It must be destroyed. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.